If so, we'll. We'll give just a moment or two. As they're coming, let us also be mindful that the early voting period is over. Election day at this point for the runoff election is going to be December 5th, 2020 at your local polling places. So just let us be mindful of those things. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the precincts, each precinct stays open to about 8 p.m. at each polling location. I know some of us are at Smash Avenue and Joan Arthur Smith and the school, Phoenix School. So let us just be mindful of those things. I know we have a very important runoff coming up right here in District 3. Uncle Willie and Cynthia Perry, they're both running in the runoff. So let's not only pray for them, but let's pray for our city as well. I believe Attorney Malcolm Larvadane and Reddix Washington Jr. are running over in District 1. So there's been a lot of discrepancy. I'm sure some of you have been seeing some of the things that's being placed out there. But let us also continue to be mindful that as children of God, that while we are...
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Day by day. Well, now, if you really want it, listen to me, brother. Get down on your knees and pray. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He's just there waiting to hear from you. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
That if you really want deliverance,
you say you need it.
Don't you know you can have it today? Now you say you have a little.
Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it.
You can
have it today. Have deliverance
right now.
If you're sick,
you can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
If you've got to have it.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
For you say you want deliverance.
You can have it.
You say you need deliverance.
If you need it.
You know that you can
have it. You can have it today.
excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and we'll also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Scripture today, John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I would speak to you today on the subject, troubled hearts. Before I say anything about my text, I would venture to say that on this day, many of us believe that we are in trouble. Many of us today would believe that we have problems that are insurmountable. Many of us are perplexed and stressed out over our trouble. It should be known to us that in this church, none of us have seen trouble. Now, you would know trouble if your name was Osama bin Laden prior to his death. You see, here is a man who had millions of dollar bounty on his head. Here is a man who was the number one enemy of the most powerful nation on earth. Here was a man who was daily hunted by over a million soldiers. He could not use a telephone. He could not go to a public restaurant. He could not take his family for a stroll in the park. He was a man in trouble. Another person who was in trouble is Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a man who could have become the leader of France, a man who was in control of millions of dollars in the International Monetary Fund, a man who in a moment of indiscretion has lost credibility and status because of an act outside of his professional responsibility. Until recently, I thought individuals like Tiger Woods and Arnold Schwarzenegger were in trouble, men whose marriages were falling apart. Although Arnold Schwarzenegger was a professional bodybuilder, an actor, a businessman, a politician, and finally, a governor of the richest state in the United States, he is also married into one of the wealthiest families in the country. Because of his activity and his lifestyle, he stood to lose billions, and he will forever be known as a man who was in trouble. You see, trouble is defined as difficulty or problems, failure to function properly, effort or exertion, especially when inconvenient, a cause of worry or inconvenience. Many Christians today think that they are in trouble, but the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect in love. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Our mainstay of deliverance is the ever-abiding knowledge that our Father in heaven has everything under his control. We can be as cool as a cucumber because we know that our Father has it in his hands. To lose a grip on that reality means that our faith is beneath that of the devil. For the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. For you see, the devil knows that God is in control. The devil knows that he has but a short time. The devil knows that the battle is over. The devil knows that God's victory is assured. The devil knows that Jesus is Lord over all. The devil knows that he will burn in hell for his deeds. So since the devil knows these things, then why do we worry and fret over our little problems? You see, we worry because we exercise a limited faith. Until we fully grasp hold of God's word, we cannot believe until we trust that God says, and we cannot believe because we don't have faith to accept God's will. We have not allowed his will to be our will. When God makes decisions that are not our decisions, we must be willing to yield to his decisions because his will is more perfect than our will. We have allowed our belief in the devil to replace our trust in God. Trouble will cause us to lose our focus on who God is to us and what he means to us and why he is essential to us. Just remember Adam when he first saw Eve after she ate the fruit. She had eaten the fruit and she had lost her robe of righteousness. And when Adam looked at that beautiful naked woman, he lost his mind. That's why Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, when Adam saw the naked Eve, he ate the fruit. When Joseph saw naked Potiphar's wife, he stood for Jesus. When Samson saw a naked Delilah, he lost his hair. When David saw a naked Bathsheba, he lost control. You see, when Jesus was looking at the naked Mary Magdalene, who was caught in the midst of adultery, he began to write the perfect will of his Father. His mind was different because his mindset was different. As history has revealed from the past, trouble has come and trouble will remain a factor as long as sin continues to exist. Genesis chapter 34 and verse 30 says, "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house.'" In their course to defend the honor of their sister Diana, Simeon and Levi sought to take matters into their own hands. Now, there are times when we should be still and let God fight our battles. That's why Genesis 41 and verse 8 tells us, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." Pharaoh had a midnight encounter with Jehovah. When God speaks directly to us and reveals himself to us, we need to be open to accept and obey his will and his way. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "And Joshua said, 'Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Achan hid a Babylonian's goods in his tent against the will of God." And when we disobey God, we are opening up ourselves for trouble. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 29, "Then said Jonathan, 'My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey.'" Saul hindered the victory by telling the people not to eat. And when his own son Jonathan tasted the blessing that God had in store for his people, it was the inspiration that led to victory. That is why, parents, when you lie to your children, thinking that you are helping them, remember that God has a way of telling them the truth, regardless to your lies. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 and 18, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house.'" Ahab was quick to label Elijah a troublemaker, but Elijah was quick to declare in that we have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam. Luke chapter 1 and verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. When one has doubted God and rejected the words and the will of God, as God sends his angel, it becomes clear that we are in an opposition to God. The sight of the angel of the Lord then is a troubling thing. It's a troubling thought to know that you're on the wrong side of God. It's a troubling thought to know that an angel of God has come to visit you because you stood in opposition to the will of God. That's why John 12, verse 27 and 28, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. When trouble came to Jesus, it was a result of Jesus knowing that the time of his sacrifice had come. Jesus knew all about trouble. So the elixir for settling the hearts of his troubled compatriots was to trust in the power of God. To comfort the disciples, Jesus gave them several exhortations along with promises. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he said. Troubled means unsettled. We need to learn how to be cool in the clutch. Each believer is responsible for the condition of his own heart. And that's why we must learn how to settle things as Jesus did. That's why Proverbs 3 verses 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 4 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 20 and verse 9 says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? You see, by a firm trust in God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, we must relieve our soul of sorrow and be sustained in our coming tests. When Jesus says, trust in God, he also said, trust in me. He was giving commands, not making statements. You see, death should not be a terror to those of us who trust Jesus, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. And in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I will come back. So don't worry about what happens to us in the interim. Know that when you are a child of God, Jesus settles it with his Father. That's why the words, let not your heart be troubled, or stop letting your heart be troubled. The disciples were troubled because Jesus had announced that he would soon leave them. He now proceeded to tell them that his absence would only be temporary, and that his departure would be for their benefit. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when you believe, know that I am coming again. Why? Because he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. A beautiful representation of heaven. The word for house means God has a place that is our eternal home. We will live with God and he will live with us. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I can't wait to go and be in the arms of Jesus. For he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansion means abiding places. It means a place where we will live with God. The only occurrence of the word in the Bible, certainly the abode of Christ and the Father, with the Christian is no temporary affair. God has a place for us. And that's why I long to live with Jesus. I long to be with him. our English word mansion is from the Latin mansio, in meaning almost equivalent to a place which is a remaining place. That means this is our final home. I remember as a professional, I have moved from city to city and place to place. But oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to live with Jesus throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And the mansion that he provides for me is going to be my eternal place. Not just a resting place, but a place to live with Jesus. Oh, I can't wait. For Jesus says, I go. And that means that we ought to be trusting in God and believing in God. Because Jesus said, I'm going so that I can make a place for you. This conditional clause was not intended to introduce uncertainty. For Jesus said, if I go, meaning that here is temporal force and should probably be translated, when I go. For Jesus let us know that he keeps his word. He is a God that does not lie. He promised that when he goes away, he is coming back again. That's why today I know we can trust God's word. That's why I know that we can believe in him. That's why I know there's no reason for us to be in despair. There's no reason for us to doubt. There's no reason for us to be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm sure that the political climate of our society has many of us concerned as to who is going to be in control of tomorrow. But I can tell you tomorrow who's going to be God. As long as I know that I can trust in Jesus, as long as I know I can believe in Jesus, as long as I know that he has a place for me, I'm not concerned about what happens down here on this earth, because I know that Jesus says, let not my heart be troubled. Because I believe in God, I know that he has prepared a place for me. In that place that he has prepared, there will be a city home made by God and a country home that I will build. For Isaiah says, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Oh, today I am comforted because my trouble will not last always. My trouble will not hold me back. My trouble will not cause me to lose my hope for tomorrow, because as long as God promised that when I go, I will come again. Oh, today, my Christian friends, the Greek expressed the promise in the present tense. This so-called futuristic present gives emphasis to the certainty of the event. The event is thought of as being so certain as to already being taken place. The reference is clearly to the personal advent of Jesus, vividly described a few days earlier in the question, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Jesus wanted the disciples to know, don't worry about anything. Just know that when I go, I am coming back. And not only that, he says, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. That is, you will be with me throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Your trust and your hope and your peace is wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. He promised that where he is, there we may be also. The disciples were directed to the time of the second advent as the moment when they would be reunited with their Lord. There is no hint, there is no popular doctrine that believers go to be with their Lord that is more important than this promise of a second coming. Paul also directs us to believe in Jesus. Paul tells us